Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson sitting in Cy Kellett's chair. Cy should be back tomorrow, but I am happy to be here with you today. My regular job is Director of Development here at Catholic Answers, which means I try to help keep the lights on. My team and I raise the money here at Catholic Answers, so you'll hear from us during Radio Drive. We also are involved with events here at Catholic Answers. So if you haven't heard yet, the Catholic Answers Conference is back. You can go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and get more information. As always, it is the last weekend in September. We would love to see you there. But I'm happy to be here on Catholic Answers Live again, sitting in for Cy Kellett today. We've had a great show so far. First hour was Trent Horn and a pro-life open forum. Our second hour, we are bringing all the way from Down Under, all the way from Australia, Monica Dumit, a friend of the apostolate here at Catholic Answers. Monica is the Director of Public Affairs and Engagement for the Archdiocese of Sydney. You can find her work at the Catholic Weekly. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I know Cy was disappointed he wouldn't be on the show today. I know the two of you know each other well. You've been on the show before. And I imagine when Cy was down in Australia a couple years ago, did you guys have a chance to connect then?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually were part of the same panel, which was nice. I got to chat with all of the guys about pro-life issues. So it was lovely.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So our phone number to call, of course, is 888-318-7884. Again, that is 888-31-TRUTH. And our topic today is something a little different, something I don't know that we've discussed specifically here on Catholic Answers Live, but it is the problems with consent culture. Monica, what is consent culture? And why is it important now more than ever?
Well, I don't know what it's like in the States, but here in Australia, there's been increasing conversations about consent and particularly the need to educate children in school about consent and specifically sexual consent. It sort of all erupted here, if you like, when a student of a private school, a female student, started an online petition about consent, and sort of she was telling her own story of sexual assault at the hands of another student at a private all-boys school, and she was saying that there was this real problem with the way that, you know, these private school boys were treating the girls, and just this the pressure on them to be sexually active early in their teens, and all of those types of things. And the petition itself was a bit of a lightning rod, and you just had all of these women, many of whom had long since graduated from school, telling their stories very similar to this young woman who told her story, all about saying the idea of the pressure placed on teenagers to be having sex. And so there was this idea that we should be educating them about what consent looks like, that we should say, you know, we should be very clear that alcohol-induced or drug-induced sex or pressuring women into sending, you know, nude selfies and all of those types of things shouldn't be part of the culture, that there should be free and full consent. And so there's been this real push in Australia to update the curriculum across the board to make sure that we were introducing concepts of consent earlier and earlier. So that's sort of the picture that it's here, that's happening here at the moment. And unfortunately, we saw sort of similar behaviour being reported even in our national parliament, and, you know, similar allegations there. And so there's been this, I guess, culture of consent and the need to push consent almost as a virtue in relationships. So I don't know if any of that resonates with the States or anything similar has been happening over there.
Well, I think certainly, you know, I don't know about the aspect of teaching about consent in the schools, but certainly the other part about you know, the idea of sexual advances, typically by men, on women who have not consented to those advances, We have seen it with politicians, obviously. We've heard about it with actors and directors. I don't know that it knows any real societal bounds, per se. And of course, there was the large case involving Harvey Weinstein, which launched the entire Me Too movement, which was very much centered on consent. But one question I have for you, and you've obviously looked into this. So if it's between two consenting adults, so to speak, does that make it okay?
Well, see, that's the problem. It almost seems like consent is being pushed as the sole threshold for virtuous sexual activity. And so I think we have a real risk, particularly when it comes to Catholic schools, in adopting, we all need to be clear about consent, and nobody's arguing for a second that the kids shouldn't be taught about consent, but it's almost as if that's the only marker, and then everything that follows from a consensual sexual relationship is good. I think that's the problem that we fall into, so that we shouldn't just be teaching that as long as there's consent involved, then the sexual activity is okay. Because I think that there's a lot more, there's a lot more of a richness to our teaching, and we risk, in Catholic schooling in particular, but also in all schooling, making consent really the only virtue when it comes to sex and relationships. And I think that's a really dangerous message to be giving to young people.
Sure. And I wonder, without saying any of this is okay per se, are there mixed messages that are being sent? In terms of, you wrote a little about this in your piece on the Catholic Weekly, are there mixed messages in the way, certainly since the sexual revolution, that sex has been portrayed as, for example, a recreational activity? But does that make it any different from any other recreational activity? And then are the messages mixed?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the progressive devaluing of sex and sexual relationships over decades has put us into a situation where kids today aren't educated in the sacredness of sex, the importance of it. And so consent really does seem to be the only thing the only barrier that they need to cross. A colleague of mine at the Catholic Weekly, a guy named Ben Connolly, wonderful writer, was watching the Grammys in the US, and there was this live performance of a song that I won't mention on radio, particularly not Catholic radio, but sort of included a performance of, pole dancing, and the two singers ended up, on stage writhing in a bed together and all of these types of things. And it was celebrated as, a real moment of sexual empowerment live on television. And he commented that on the one hand, you're sending this message that something like that is sexually empowering. And then on the other hand, you're expecting young men and young women to understand and appreciate that sex isn't recreational. And so when you send mixed messages, how do you expect them to grow up with a proper understanding of the dignity of the human person, the need for, respect for the other and respect for self? And so I think as a culture, we've lost all of those messages, and they're not going to be fixed by consent education, and actually they might even be worsened.
And we'll dig more into this as we go along. We are reaching up toward our first break. Let me mention the number again, 888-318-7884. That is 888-31-TRUTH. We are talking about the problems with consent culture and how it relates specifically to sexual relationships, and we'll get into this a little more as the hour goes along. Monica just touched on it. Monica Duman, our guest from Sydney, Australia. How does Catholic teaching figure into this? And is the world maybe coming around a bit, whether they know it or not, to what Catholics have been saying about sexual relationships all along? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this with more Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connection's set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The power of prayer depends on God's action, not on our praying. The Holy Spirit prays within us with groanings too deep for words, as Romans 8 says. And He empowers us to seek God and to seek from Him all that we need. And the answer to prayers are always from God in order to worship Him.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you don't recognize my voice, my name is David Matheson. I'm the development director here at Catholic Answers, and I'm sitting in for the great Cy Kellett. And our second hour, we're in the second hour of Catholic Answers Live. Our second hour conversation is with Monica Dumit, who's with the Archdiocese of Sydney, Australia. And we are talking about problems with consent culture. Before we get back to Monica, and we've got a couple calls on the line, we're going to get to Lil and Mike here momentarily. I do want to mention to you that if you have listened to this show, if you are an amateur apologist, if you have had conversations with non-Catholics, inevitably at some point the Crusades and the Inquisition are constantly brought up by non-Catholics attacking the Church. If you want to know the real story, learn the truth today. Visit shop.catholic.com, download the free ebook, The Real Story of the Crusades and the Inquisition. The Real Story of the Crusades and the Inquisition. Get your copy today at shop.catholic.com. Just look for the button at the top of the page. Again, The Real Story of the Crusades and the Inquisition for our free ebook. All right, let's get to Monica. If you're ready for calls, we'll jump right into it.
Sure thing.
All righty. Let's go to Lil in Florida. Lil is listening on Sirius XM 130 EWTN. Lil, your question for Monica Dumit.
So I heard regarding girls feeling the pressure from boys and the whole issue with consent. But I also wonder, too, in our Catholic schools and also our Catholic girls and families, where's the teaching of modesty? Because it's very easy sometimes for us girls to say, well, I felt pressure with the boys. How about the other girls pressuring each other? And in Catholic school, this goes on. And you see these girls sharing their pictures because they want to outdo the other girl, right? So they send these pictures to these boys. And then they said they felt pressure. Well, it came from your phone. So how much pressure was that boy really giving you? Why are we not teaching modesty, too? Because it's, we got to take a look at both sides. I think a lot of times we want to blame the other sex a lot. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen that way. But where is the modesty being taught in our Catholic schools?
Lil, I think that's a great question. Apologies, I was having a cough while you were talking. But look, that's true. I think we come up against a little bit of a problem here, because anytime we start talking about modesty, we get accused of victim blaming or victim shaming. At least we do here in Australia. I'm not sure what it's like in the States, but very much any time you start speaking about modesty, about even about safe behaviors, like, you know, maybe don't go out drinking to a point where you're not in control or you're not aware of your surroundings or things like that, we automatically get accused of victim blaming. And obviously the fault in all of these absolutely lies with the perpetrator, but I said that there is something to teaching everyone about safety, and whether that's safety in behavior, modesty in dress, and all of those types of things. There is a place for that. Absolutely not to excuse the actions of somebody else, but I want to say that, you know, when you lock your doors at night as a measure of safety. And that's not to say that if someone was to come into your house and break in unwanted and steal your stuff, that it's somehow your fault for not having enough locks on the doors or something like that. But there is an element that we teach ourselves, and we should be teaching our children, about safety and about safe behaviours. And I don't think those two are contradictory. So I think you're absolutely right that there is an element to that. But it's just we do tread a fine line when speaking about modesty, because we are very much accused of victim blaming. Does that make sense? And I don't know if that's the case in the States as well. It definitely is the case here in Australia.
Lil, any other comments?
No, it does make sense. And don't get me wrong, I think modesty should be taught on both sides, right? Boys and girls, because, I mean, I tried to teach mine. But my thing is that sometimes, too, and I get it, because there are situations, you're absolutely right, where there's pressure, but when a girl sends from her phone a picture and sends it off to one or two or three boys, we also have to look at that behavior, right? Because the boy didn't send it from the phone. And I think we have to teach modesty on both sides, right? Because look where we are today in our culture. It's sad. I think we need more modesty, both for women and men. Don't get me wrong. I think both sides need modesty.
Absolutely. And not simply just modesty in appearance, modesty in speech as well. Temperance, I think, too, in entertainment are some of the things that we fill our, you know, we fill our minds and our eyes with. There's a Baptist preacher who I listen to from time to time, and I remember him saying that our entertainment choices are either who we are or who we are aspiring to be. And so I think that there's also a bit of a point to looking and considering the entertainment choices of ourselves, of our children, because so much of this is fed to them through popular media. So I think modesty is one thing. Also language like dignity and respect, really, you know, the fundamental dignity of the human person, which brings us all the way back, you know, through Catholic teaching. Like Dave was saying before, I think people are starting to realize it, that the Catholics might have had it right all along, even if they're not ready to admit it. But I also appreciate it's a battle for parents, right? Like I don't have kids myself, but just the efforts that parents have to go to really to protect their children and to raise them well in a society that's just telling them the complete opposite, just full respect. I know it's tough, and I love that we have sort of great apostolates that help parents to do that. But yeah, full respect for parents trying to do it in such a difficult environment.
Lil, thanks for calling in this afternoon. We appreciate it. All the way from Florida. Let's go to line one, Mike in Denver. Mike, your question for Monica Dumit.
Good afternoon, David. Thank you so much, first of all, for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And Monica, thank you so much for being here today and your expertise. Monica, thank you. So I just had a comment and a question today. So when we talk about consent, you know, a lot of times what we see in the popular culture, especially popular music, what the mainstream culture promotes is that sex is okay to do whenever you want to do it. But at least, you know, according to the Bible, this is something that's supposed to be saved for marriage. And for younger people like, you know, myself, I was 24, recently turned to 25 in March. Something, you know, I personally struggled with growing up was pornography. And I went to Catholic school for a year in fifth grade. But when I went back to the public schools is when this came back into my life. And I think that the more we take God and Jesus out of the schools is when these things like sex and pornography have more of a possibility to take over young people's lives. But my question is, do you feel that it's possible, even possible, to regulate this without the Bible or scripture being involved?
It's a good question. I think it's possible. I think that the natural law that's written on every human heart, there's something innate in us that wants commitment, that wants, you know, monogamy, that wants to be treated well. And I think that maybe that's what we're starting to see in coming out, particularly in some of these schools. I was reading a devastating post from a woman who goes into schools around the country, faith-based schools and public schools. And she was saying just the stories that the girls tell her of of how they feel treated and objectified quite brazenly in the classroom by male members of their class, and that they know that they're not meant to be treated like that. Maybe they haven't heard the gospel preached. Maybe they don't know, you know, that we've got generations of children coming through schools now whose parents never took them to church, who never shared the story of the Bible with them, but still they know that this isn't right, that still they know that fundamentally they deserve better than this. And so I do think that it's at least identifying the hunger and the need to be treated better is definitely possible without immediately preaching Christ. But we know that the answer really and only fundamentally lies in faith, because without being able to say that humans are created in the image and likeness of God, that we are afforded a special dignity, that, you know, God becoming human is what elevates our humanity, without being able to say that, and with treating human beings just as another object, there's only a certain level that you can go to. So I think that you can identify the problem probably without faith, but you can, I don't think you can come to a fulsome answer without a faith-based perspective, because, you know, knowing that we're all loved, born in love, created for love, really only does come from Scripture.
What do you think, Mike?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I do think, like I said, it all goes back to the more we remove Jesus and God from the schools, the more that, quite frankly, the devil has a stronghold on our younger people. And it certainly happened in my life. And thank you so much for your expertise, Monica and David, for letting me be a part of the program. It just means it's invaluable. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Mike, and thank you for your honesty. I might just add one more thing. We can't also rely on the schools to do all of this. I think that we can fight to keep God in the schools, but there may be a point, and it's probably coming closer, where we're going to have to get creative. How do we spread this message in our parishes in other ways? Because as God is taken out of the schools, we need to step up our game and make sure that we're still being able to find many opportunities to pass on the faith to students, not only the ones who are in Mass on Sundays, but find and get creative in ways to do it. Like, you know, having multimedia platforms like at Catholic Answers.
Indeed. And Monica, I feel like you mentioned the consent education coming into the schools in Australia. I've got to believe it's, you know, one way or another, it's not far behind here in America. I think a lot of parents are indeed waking up to just what is happening in the schools, what is being, I'll use the term, pushed onto their children. Their children are coming home and asking questions that many parents never thought they would hear out of the mouths of their children. But there is a waking up that's going on, I think, for parents, and it's reminding us all, hey, we are the primary educators. We've got to take this bull by the horns.
Yeah, absolutely, and take it seriously and be involved deeply in the education of your children. One of the things that we're seeing in Australia, I'm not sure if the same is happening in the US, but the way that it works is that the schools are supposed to inform parents in advance of anything to do with sex education. So the parents are supposed to know when it's being presented, what's being presented, and have the opportunity to withdraw their children from the class if they don't think that it's appropriate at that time. But what we see happening is that those who might want to get some more dangerous ideologies into the minds of the children are putting them in as anti-bullying programs or anti-discrimination programs or anti-violence programs, labeling them like that, still very much pushing, you know, the sexuality and gender education. But because they're not labeling it as sex education, because they're putting it under an umbrella of anti-bullying, then they end up being able to circumvent the parental consent and the parental notification So that's happening here, and that's really dangerous. So you need to be involved not only in the religious education of your children, you know, the sex education, but all aspects of it, because you don't know where these forces are coming in speaking to children. So that's one lesson from Australia, which I think in many ways we seem a few steps ahead or behind the US, whichever way you want to put it. The other thing I think is a real opportunity for Catholics is to create our
Yeah, we are, Monica, we are at the bottom of the hour. We are headed toward our hard break here. We will be back just after this. Again, consent culture, the problem with it, with Monica Dumit from the Diocese of Sydney, Australia. More to come right after this break.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cortiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kids' soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, surrendering the hurt.
Are you feeling hurt by someone in your life? We'll help you find healing.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am David Matheson, your guest host today, sitting in for Cy Kellett, and we are in the midst of a great conversation with Monica Dumit from the Diocese of Sydney, Australia. We are talking about the problems with consent culture, specifically as it relates to the Me Too movement, to sexual relationships. And Monica, as we were talking during the break, there are folks in society who may have nothing to do with Catholic Church, may have nothing to do with religion, but they are making the point, and it plays right into the whole idea of consent being different when it comes to sexual relationships. They're making the point that sex is different. It's not despite what the sexual revolution told us and has continued to tell us, it's not just another recreational activity, and that's why consent is so important in that venue.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was reading a really good piece by a woman named Dr. Emma Wood. It was featured on ABC Religion and Ethics, and the ABC is our national broadcaster here. For the most part, let's just say their worldview isn't exactly Catholic.
I can imagine.
Or anything close to it. So So it was really interesting to see this piece appear there, but Dr. Wood was talking about how you can't treat sex like a water fight or a game of tennis, and a culture that has done it for so long, that has denied the significance of sex, now finds itself in a real quandary because we're looking at it and trying to then enforce a notion of consent on particularly younger generation who have no concept of its significance. And we really find ourselves at a crossroads. The consent education only lasts for so long, but you will only really change the culture and only really have the cultural change that we need if you start talking about the significance of sex and sexual activity and why it is not just recreational. And so it's a little bit like the prisoner's dilemma. So everybody's sitting there just going, well, we know that this is what we have to do, but are we willing to make those hard decisions as, you know, as older Australians, as, you know, older people in generations in other parts of Western culture? Are we willing to sort of wind back a little bit of the, you know, the sexual liberation movement that rolled through and say, well, after a couple of generations, we can see that it's actually causing some damage and causing some harm. And are we going to do something to redress that?
Very good. Let's go to our next caller. Jennifer is on line one. Jennifer calling from Huntsville, Texas, watching and listening on YouTube Live. Jennifer, what's your question for Monica?
Hi, Monica. I was just wondering if you're thinking, if you think consent culture will have a negative effect on, say, people, especially adults with that are on the spectrum. So they have trouble understanding cues, so they might make someone uncomfortable, but accidentally, but that could cause, you know, ramifications for them later. Would you see that happening and maybe affecting their relationships with others?
Sorry, so if I can just understand the question, so adults on the spectrum, would consent culture damage their relationships? It's hard to say. In some respects, you think that it might be of assistance because it's a very definite marker for them. If they're a little bit, if picking up nonverbal cues and those types of things are more difficult for people on the spectrum, that having a definitive marker could be helpful. I think I'm not an expert in this area, so I don't want to profess to be, but I also think that they deserve the richer picture of sex and sexuality as well, and to be able to, you know, find ways to introduce that that fits in with their particular needs and ways of picking up information. So I think in some respects I actually think it might be helpful, but we can't stop there. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, kind of. It's just I knew some people kind of growing up, and they were on the spectrum, obviously, and very friendly, like wanted to hug and just be very personable. But I know with some people that might be too, like, invading space, kind of. But if they don't really know those cues, it would be hard for them to realize that.
So their natural affection and the way they express that affection could infringe on the idea of consent.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a really wonderful young man who I've encountered in Catholic circles a number of times, who, like you said, wants to just give you a hug at every point, and, you know, hugs that go for about 30 or 40 seconds. And so I think that it's possible to be still introducing, maybe not consent in those types of terms, but we've been through, you know, fist pump, you know, show them your love by fist pump. And so sort of trying to train them, train sounds so terrible, sorry, I didn't mean it to sound like that, but trying to help them find other ways of still expressing their affection that might not necessarily be so intimate. So yeah, dear Arthur, we've been doing a lot of fist pumping, and COVID's been quite helpful for that as well. The nice warm elbow greeting. But I think there's ways to do it. We just have to be patient. and still let them, you know, help them to find ways to express love and affection, but maybe not in a way that necessarily makes other people feel uncomfortable or even and sometimes unsafe.
Jennifer, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate that. And the lines, several lines are open for you, 888-318-7884. Again, 888-31-TRUTH. Monica, I can't remember if it was in your article or the other article that you sent, and you touched on this really briefly in passing a moment ago, the idea of a recreational activity like a water fight, and then the aspects of that translating into the sexual realm. I think it was you who gave an example of that. Talk about that, and maybe it'll help us frame the whole issue and why it's problematic, the way we've defined sexuality over the last 50, 60 years.
Okay, so this was, this wasn't me, this was Dr. Wooden. So
there you go.
She began with a thought experiment, and she said, so say you've got, you know, two young people, you know, there's you and Jack keeps saying, no, let's have a water fight, let's have a water fight. And you say, no, I don't want a water fight. And then when you're not looking, he throws a water bomb at you and splash, and you're completely wet. And so all of a sudden you're in the middle of a water fight. Yes, Jack was wrong to start the water fight, throw a water balloon at you when you said that you didn't want one. But the moral gravity of that action is, you know, we would say is quite low. It was annoying, it was inconvenient, you got wet, but there was no real lasting damage to starting a water fight. If it's a little bit difficult in those circumstances to talk about, well, no, that was a violation. Mm-hmm. That was something that was really, really harmful. So what he did was wrong, but not that wrong. We can't talk about sex in the same way. Replace now the water fight for sexual activity, and, you know, Jack keeps asking and you keep saying no, and then all of a sudden he comes and forces himself on you anyway. Obviously, there's a much deeper gravity to that action. It's a much deeper moral wrong. The impact on you is a lot more long-lasting. And that's obvious to anybody in terms of the difference between a water fight and a sexual assault, right? Like it's not something that needs to be explained. But what Dr. Wood was saying is that for so long we've treated sex like a water fight. We say it's just another recreational activity. And so the gravity then of the consequences of forcing that unwanted activity on somebody else, there are so many of our young people who see that as something that's not necessarily that serious because they've been taught that sex isn't that serious. And that's just in the culture, add pornography to that, and they're watching, often very violent images, and they're just available from, you know, to kids even before they're teenagers. And this is the idea of sex and sexuality that they're being raised with, and that they're watching and internalizing. And so it's very, very hard for us then to start redressing that and talk about sex as something serious and not something that's just entertainment. So that's what Dr. Wood was saying. And all analogies fall down, and sometimes in making an analogy, you're bound to get people upset because you don't want to, on the one hand, compare something as serious as sexual assault with an unwanted water fight. Even for illustrative purposes. So I apologize if that upsets anybody. Absolutely not my intention, but the point I think is well made, which is we know this is more than a recreational activity. We should treat it like that, and we do ourselves a detriment and we do future generations a detriment if we don't.
Well, and I think to your point, this is not what you're saying. It's not what Catholic Answers is saying. It's not what the Catholic Church certainly is saying. But it ends up, unfortunately, and this is where the mixed messages, you know, come in for some young people in particular, especially, I think, for some young men, is the response ends up being, but I thought it was just like a, they're the ones saying, I thought it was just like a water fight. I thought this was just all in fun. Nobody got hurt, blah, blah, you know, et cetera. And that's the quandary that you were talking about earlier.
And the damage is real and,
yes,
and really lasting. And I don't know how we make that real to men and women, but particularly to young men,
mm-hmm,
about actually how grave this is, about how harmful, about how much of a violation it is. We also do ourselves a little bit of a disservice, I think, in suggesting that the only reason that it's a violation is because of sort of a possible pregnancy or a possible STD or something like that. That there's something about, you know, even if pregnancy is avoided, even if a sexually transmitted disease is avoided, that there's still a harm that comes that's deep and lasting. And so I think that that's something we really need to start educating. But again, we can't do it without talking about the significance of sex, the importance of treating others with human dignity, which I think is a great opportunity for the church as well. You were saying before that this isn't, the consent education in schools isn't really a thing yet in the United States, but it could be coming. And so if I was giving advice, I would say start now. Let's start packaging up consent education that doesn't just focus on yes or no, but actually goes more broadly into the richness of human sexuality, into the need to treat other people with dignity. I think that if we were, you know, if we were smart and organized, that we would be doing this, because the church has something so rich and so beautiful to offer, not just those in Catholic schools, but those in, you know, in public schools and everywhere. And so I think this is a real opportunity for us to be forming people in that way. Not necessarily as a means of evangelization, although that's always good, but really just out of service to humanity, out of a desire for the common good, for all people to be treated with dignity and respect.
No doubt about it. We are having a great conversation with Monica Dumit on consent culture and how it figures into sexual relationships and how the church figures into this whole conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Steve Liegers, president of Tri-State Catholic Radio, and I am a sinner. A sinner who needs God's grace and mercy, especially when I'm weak or disappointed in myself or have hurt others. Catholic Radio and its wonderful variety of programming reminds me that God loves me and uses radio as a medium to broadcast his love and encouragement into our world. Find a Catholic station in your area and tune in.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. David Matheson sitting in for Cy Kellett today. We are wrapping up 2 hours of great Catholic radio here with a conversation with Monica Dumit from the Diocese, Archdiocese of Sydney, Australia, coming to us all the way from Sydney. And the conversation we're having is about consent culture, its relationship, specifically within sexual relationships, and where does the Catholic Church figure in to all of this? Monica, in your role or within the Archdiocese of Sydney, what sort of efforts do you see there, either to support the positive aspects of this issue or other related issues, or maybe to counteract the more negative aspects in terms of educating young people in particular about sexual relationships?
Well, one of the great things that we've seen grow in the last few years, And I actually think it's a model that's been adopted from the United States. One of the great groups we've got here is the Culture Project. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's very much a peer-to-peer ministry where, you know, young people not long out of school themselves are going back into schools to talk about authentic relationships, about real love, the dignity of the human person, and those types of things. And it's received quite well because these are people just a few years older than them, talking to them about the needs and the desires of their hearts. I think one of the activities they do sort of asks the young people there, what would an ideal relationship look like? And, you know, they start putting it up on the whiteboard, and all of a sudden you get, you know, faithful, you get, you know, loving, somebody who treats you with respect, who's committed to you, all of those types of things. And without necessarily coming in and preaching the church's teaching on marriage and on sex and sexuality, you get the young people from their own selves and from their own experience articulating exactly what the church is offering. And I think that that's really enlightening for them. And so that's one of the great ministries we've got. It's run by some wonderful young people who take a mission year or a couple of years of mission to do this in schools. And I think that young people witnessing to young people is a really important aspect of this. There's only so much that students will receive from their teachers, from priests, from, you know, directors of public affairs or things like that, people with official roles, or from their parents. So it's really beautiful to see the witness of young people. Mike, who called before, was talking about, you know, struggles with pornography and things like that. And I think that also a witness to the dangers of pornography and the impact that can have on a young person's life, coming from a young person themselves, is also something that's absolutely crucial. So we're seeing some of that. I'd love to see the ministry grow and more ministries like it, because I think that having young people minister to young people is and witness to young people is really important, and that's how we're going to most effectively reach them.
Indeed. I just want to make a quick promo here. Your good friend Cy Kellett's written a book. Monica, have you read it yet?
I haven't.
Well, we need to make sure you have a copy of it if you don't have a copy yet. But I do want to pass along a review of the book from Andrew. Andrew sent us this review of Cy Kellett's new book, A Teacher of Strange Things. He said, Cy accessibly presents why billions of people through 2,000 years continue to encounter and ground their lives in Jesus Christ, the adventure and challenge of self-sacrificial love they are called to, and the dynamic communion with God and others that is both the beginning and the consequence of living as a follower of Jesus Christ. Andrew says this is a perfect book for anyone who has good faith questions about Jesus and is trying to sort out where she or he will stand in relation to him. So Father's Day is coming up. If you're still looking for the perfect gift, if you have a father, a grandfather, adult son, a husband, this would be the perfect book for them. Teacher of Strange Things by our very own Cy Kellett. You can save 25% off that book right now at shop.catholic.com. Just use promo code TEACHME, 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 at checkout, shop.catholic.com. Teacher of Strange Things by our very own Cy Kellett. Monica, continuing our conversation here, talk about, so you were just discussing how, what a great witness, peer-to-peer witnessing is. And isn't that true for any of us? If men want to connect greater with their Catholic faith, for example, they're going to receive it better from another man, a woman often from another woman, a mom from a mom, and certainly in this case, a young person who has had to deal with all of these. I'm 50 years old, and the things that young people have to deal with today, it's got to be overwhelming. So the more tools that folks like you at the Archdiocese of Sydney, we here at Catholic Answers can provide young people, especially equipping them to be able to witness to their peers, I think we can't do too much of that.
Absolutely right. I think one of the great witnesses that young people can bring to is the joy that comes with really understanding and accepting the church's teaching on the human person and on sexuality. One of the really unfortunate things about such a sexualized culture is, you know, it seemed the young people just being overwhelmed on the one sense, in the one sense, with all of this, with all of this material and all of this sexualized content. But by the same token, it's giving them an impoverished view of sex and also of themselves. It's such a narrow and awful view, I think, of the human person. So I think one of the great benefits of peer-to-peer ministry, and for those who have the courage and the ability to be speaking about these types of issues publicly, is that the joy with which they often speak about discovering these teachings, about living these teachings, about how much it has enriched their lives, not only in terms of relationships with each other, but their relationship with themselves. One of, I think, you know, the most toxic things about the culture, the sexualized culture, is that we convince, you know, young men, young women themselves that they're only objects, and that love is something almost beyond their reach, and to be loved and to be loved unconditionally. And so I think the church's teaching on that is just so beautiful and would provide such a cure for so many of these current social ills. And it's really devastating. They always say that the devil just twists it a little bit, right? So
sometimes that's all it takes, right? That's all it takes. Yeah.
And but just the havoc that it's wreaked. So yeah, I think that the one of the great things that we have to offer is the joy and the peace that these types of that this teaching provides. And you see it just in the faces of these wonderful young people who are going into schools and who are doing great things online as well.
Yeah. Monica, in the last couple of minutes that we have here before we head out for the day, what quick advice would you give to a young person who sees the value in this and wants to be part of that solution and wants to witness to their peers on everything from the beauty of Catholic teaching to the importance of sexual relationships compared to other things in our lives?
Great. Well, the first thing I would say is find people to do it with. So find a community, find friends. It's hard to do it with other people. It's near impossible to be trying to do that alone. So find some friends who are there to support you, to work with you, to keep you accountable. Often these conversations, I would say, don't need to happen online. They're much better in person. We can all get trapped into being a bit of keyboard warriors and thinking that we'll convince somebody in the chat stream. It's often never the case. Don't be discouraged when, you know, at times that it doesn't go well. You never know the seeds that you plant in somebody's life. Even if they might not bear fruit for years to come, they might come back and remember. Send your guardian angel before you in every conversation. My guardian angel gets a lot at quite a long workout. I always send them before me in a conversation. I had a beautiful nun tell me that you can also pray to them and ask them to fix a conversation that you think you've messed up. That's probably my quick advice.
Yep. And I think your last point about a strong spiritual life, because I can promise you, if you go into this type of work, the devil's coming after you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Monica, thank you so much. We appreciate having you for this hour. It's been a great one. And God bless you guys down there in Sydney, Australia. And God bless you and your work, okay?
Thanks, Dave.
You bet.
Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Open Forum with Tim Staples, first hour tomorrow. Father Anthony Dorsa, hour two tomorrow. Join us. Cy Kellett will be back on Catholic Answers Live for another 2 hours of apologetics and evangelization. God bless you. Have a great evening.